From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
JP, many NFL analysts have the Browns picking number one next year, and despite reports that Texas quarterback Arch Manning will stay in college until the 2027 draft, Bleacher Report's Brent Sobleski predicts he will be the pick for the Cleveland Browns next offseason in 2026. Would Arch Manning be a no-brainer in 2026?
I think it's too early to say no-brainer. I mean, I've seen him throw 95 snaps. I'm not convinced he's coming out. I hadn't been for a long time, but I don't think the no-brainer tag applies right now. I need to actually see him play.
So I think that's a really good point. I also think I get really uncomfortable when we crown a quarterback a year ahead of time or 2 years ahead of time, because I think teams assume more with those guys, like Andrew Luck, like Bryce Young. Like, I'm trying to think of other guys. I mean, even...
Well, Trevor Lawrence was, I mean, the most propped up high school quarterback ever.
Even Caleb Williams versus, Jaden Daniels. Like, I think there's a reason that you sometimes see the second best quarterback end up being the best quarterback or the second quarterback off the board, because some of these guys get anointed, yeah. And there's like an atrophy because there's such groupthink around that. I really worry about the groupthink because of Arch Manning's name, because of where he's played, and because this kid has been anointed since he was 15 years old. That doesn't mean he's going to be bad, by the way, but it does scare me. It does scare me that there's some bust in there that we might not be talking about because of the brand name.
Well, and I just think about the urgency that Heisman voters are going to have to try to make sure that he wins the Heisman if it's only the one season that he has here, because they want that for the legacy of the game. They want him to have that accomplishment. So we talk about being taken number one overall. We talk about the Heisman. Like, he does get a leg up, and that people want him to be great. All right, I want to bring it to your territory, at least your guys' territory, and something I discovered within the EA video game that I was not aware of. So college football came out a couple days ago. People have been playing it, and they noticed that both Dion and Bill Belichick have opted out of the game.
So it's on par for Bill.
Bill never did Madden either, but hate it.
Yeah, I did too.
Hate it.
Yeah.
It is the easiest thing you can possibly do.
Well, why
are you opting out of this?
So it shows Bill's... It's different in the NFL, where I don't think NFL players care about it. I know for a fact. I know because I've had a college football player to mention they love that head coaches are in the game now. The Dion stuff's interesting because he's just his own hype machine. But I feel like he's such a fun guy that I get that he wants to make money off of it. Just take the cool points.
Well, I mean, so it is interesting, right? Like, and I know they pay a standard flat rate, but like, it's not about the money, Dion.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about the money, but maybe he doesn't see that.
Yeah. Well, I think Dion's more likely to be like, I don't need this. I don't need the cool points. And I'm like, yeah, you don't need them, but they don't hurt.
Maybe accomplish a little bit more in college football before you do this, though.
I mean, what? It's funny, like, Dion's the all-fun police and Bill Belichick's the no-fun police. It's interesting that this is the cross-section where we meet them.
Where they meet? Bill, you've done nothing in the college football landscape. You want to do that in the NFL? Sure. You've done nothing in college football.
If EA Sports really wanted to be crappy about it, they would have called the North Carolina head coach Jordan Hudson. That would have been very funny.
Instead, his name is Hector Luna.
Oh, yeah.
Former
St. Louis Cardinal and Guardians prospect Hector Luna.
And then Kirkpatrick is running Colorado's team.
I hate that.
Omaha!
Kirk Cousins' annual appearance in the Netflix show Quarterback brought out another interesting moment. The guy has no personality, and yet he constantly is a cross-section of interesting moments on the show when he talked about the challenges of going from Minnesota to Atlanta.
I heard somebody describing it as when you see someone dating the person you used to date in like high school or college. You're like, I used to throw to Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, and now someone else is enjoying doing that. That's interesting.
Throwing to is a very interesting turn of phrase. But the one thing is, Kirk, you've only had one girlfriend. None of us believe. It doesn't matter. You were at Michigan State and started multiple years. You're in the Tim Tebow camp. All right, you had one girlfriend.
I knew Tim Tebow's girlfriend. He had multiple girlfriends. He had a lot of girlfriends.
That is not a tomcat.
But I knew one that he dated for like 2 months. I went to school with her when she was dating Tebow.
Wasn't it the actor Crawford's sister?
No, she was Miss Oklahoma at one point, and then she took like half a semester of communication classes at Lindenwood, where I was in like three classes with her. And at the time, she was dating Tebow. And then she started dating Tebow. And then like 3 weeks after dating Tebow, she stopped going to classes completely.
Yeah. And by the way, didn't end up as Mrs. Tebow. Should Atlanta pass catchers take offense to this?
Nah, I mean, Atlanta pass catchers, yeah, maybe, because they actually have good players on that team.
Well, here's the thing.
It's not like they got a bunch of slappies.
Kyle Pitts is not the most balanced of men.
He hasn't, well, and he,
I guarantee you, that guy takes great offense to this. Even though he hasn't put up the stats.
Drake London and Bijan Robinson are legitimately awesome at their job.
Oh, no, they are. And they don't deserve to be dragged. Kyle Pitts does deserve to be dragged, and he's the guy that would be upset about this.
Omaha! The Pirates are adjusting Paul Skene's schedule so that he can pitch in the All-Star game. I don't know exactly how they're going to adjust it, what they're going to do as far as moving it up, moving it back, anything in between. But what I do know is that they're adjusting it to make sure that he pitches in the All-Star game and you would presume would get the start for the NL side of things to be able to throw that inning. Do you like this or do you hate this?
We like this. More teams, and like I know the Dodgers have done this with Kershaw before. The Tigers did it for Verlander a couple times. It as long as it doesn't cost you a game, as long as you're not doing something wildly stupid in the middle of a game at like a crucial point to pull them out of the game. This is protecting the All-Star game, and I think this is better than like the great power hitters being like, yeah, I'm not going to do the home run derby.
I just think it shows awareness by the Pirates to understand that this is a bigger moment. This is one of the biggest moments you can give Skeens, and the win doesn't necessarily matter more than giving him this type of moment and this type of celebrity attached to it all.
And so what's great about what you're saying is it also shows an awareness of how you build a star in baseball, which most teams just do not seem to give a rat's patootie about, and which baseball itself has not really shown a strong inclination to build any of these guys into more than just baseball stars, into like global brands.
I mean, these are the little things that if I was Skeens and it's 5 years from now and I'm deciding whether or not I want to take a little bit of a discount because I either love Pittsburgh or don't love Pittsburgh, I think about whether or not they bended to let me go ahead and pitch in the All-Star game.
Yeah, there won't be a shot in hell that happens, though.
Probably not.
He's going to get $600 million on like a six-year deal, and it's going to be wild.
People said the same thing about Hosey for a very long time, too.
Mm. I always think Skeens, Hosey, same guy.
Goats, in my opinion.
Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon tackled a big problem they feel America is facing on the, I almost said Tony Kornheiser show, and Around the Horn.
There is a dearth of track and field in the United States, and it's a death of a sport. I understand why boxing died. I get that. I understand the social implications. I understand why horse racing died. You can bet on anything. You know, and they're horses. You can't talk to them, so there's no human interest story. But I don't understand why track and field died. Do you?
Things come and go. Baseball doesn't have the popularity, the hold that phone? America it once had.
Does not.
You mentioned boxing.
It's the Tony Kornheiser show.
These are the three biggest things for 75 years were baseball, boxing, and horse racing.
I like that's the Tony Kornheiser show. Why? His guest is Mike Wilbon.
Why? Why has track and field been forgotten?
What's that conversation with the producer? Hey, can we get Wilbon today?
Yeah, hey,
you think he'll come on?
Hey, I need a big guest. Will Wilbon do it? I also love the thing about horses. Like, you can't talk to the horses. You can. They just can't talk back. Why has track and field been forgotten?
You definitely can talk to the horses. Yeah. They're just not going to say anything back.
You just take just enough ayahuasca and they might talk back.
Was track and field ever awesome to begin with? Am I missing the great age of track and field that they're trying to describe? Is that what happened here?
The heyday. 1941, when Michael McGillicuddy, fresh off a trip
to Iwo Jima. Do we have to go back to Jesse? Are we going to Jesse Owens? Is that what we're doing?
No, he was okay. But Michael McGillicuddy, that guy in 1941 at Iowa State, whoo, like a bird.
Usain Bolt had a moment. Did anybody really care?
No. I always judge people based off what Olympic sports they like.
It's a weird way to judge people.
Listen, if you are a track and field athlete, I will withhold my judgment. But if you're like somebody who never enjoyed track, you never played it in high school or college, and you're like, man, I can't wait to see like the 400 yard dash. I don't even know the names of the damn events. But if you're the person
what's the cool what gets cool points for you with the track and field events? Were you like they say or not? Sorry, not track and field. The Olympic events. You said you judge people off Olympic events. What's the one where you're like, that's my guy?
Basketball.
That was the right answer after that. Okay.
Is it going to be archery?
I didn't know what you were going to say. You made the rules, not me. I don't judge people off Olympic events. You're the one that says you judge people off Olympic events.
I should expound upon that. If you like any of them.
Okay, there we go.
Outside of Olympic basketball, I kind of think you're a weird knob.
Do you like sports?
It's great. Many people are asking that.
I don't know if you do. Yeah. I don't know.
I'll tell you right now.
I don't know.
I am demeaning the Olympic process. Oh, you know what? Olympic wrestling. That's pretty badass. Just a couple guys being guys.
You make the wrestlers mad, not me. Those guys are those guys are intense.
How would I be mad? I just said that's like a real sport. Oh, yeah. BRB, gotta run real fast. Okay. Oh man. Somebody wrapped me in an American flag. Al Pawlowski, Guardians TV.
Hey,
host.
Kurt Angle ran with that for a while.
Yeah, because he was a wrestler. That's a real sport. What do the last two games mean for the Guardians? Al Powell will tell us in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.